In other words, the church believes that the guilt can be removed, but the penalty can still remain. Always except where a mortal sin is forgiven, say in the sacrament of penance, where the guilt is removed, the eternal punishment is always removed. This is infallible teaching. Am I clear? Whenever a mortal sin is forgiven as to guilt, then always the eternal punishment is also removed. However, the church has never taught that when we have either a mortal sin forgiven or venial sins, she has never taught that all of the penalty is removed, has never taught that. That depends on the person's dispositions. And they'd have to be very, very high dispositions for all the temporal punishment to be removed, say, when you make a good confession. One more part to the meaning. A plenary indulgence, provided the person is, and here's the language of the church, provided that person is so disposed that he is ready to sacrifice any occasion to sin. Remember that, sisters. The condition for gaining a plenary indulgence, which means the removal of all temporal punishment due, watch it, to forgiven sins, forgiven as to guilt. The condition is total detachment from anything that I know would lead me even into venial sin. Am I clear? Are you shaking your head? Please.
Once more.
Gaining a plenary indulgence, which means the removal of the whole debt of pain incurred by every sin. Two words we should never forget. Two words always go together, sin and pain. Had there been no sin in the world, there wouldn't be any pain in the world. That's our faith. However, to gain a plenary indulgence, which means the removal of all, get it, all debt of suffering of pain due to the sins that we have committed, the condition for gaining a plenary indulgence is that I am, well, detached. I am ready to give up. I am willing to sacrifice any creature, every creature, which my conscience tells me would be an occasion of even venial sin for me. We know what an occasion to sin is. An occasion to sin is that which leads us into sin. we gain a plenary indulgence only if our conscience in the mind, and of course the will behind the conscience, is ready to give up, no matter how pleasant the creature may be, then my memory tells me, my conscience tells me, would lead me even into venial sin. And that is a very deep detachment. Now the forms, you've already described the two, plenary, removing all, and let me repeat, plenary indulgence removes all the temporal punishment still due to forgiven sins. Forgiven in what way? Forgiven as to guilt. A partial indulgence removes some of the temporal punishment. Now, the word temporal, we use it so often, it can be misleading. It means temporary. In other words, the suffering that we endure in time. The word temporary in English comes from the Latin tempus, which is time. Temporary means the sufferings which are still coming to us, either here on earth or in purgatory. And sisters, all that purgatory is, that's all it is. It is the suffering that we may have to undergo when our body dies, because our souls still owe a debt of suffering to God. No Protestant believes in purgatory. Zero. And that is a tragedy, because as Catholics, we believe that our sufferings here on earth are a divinely provided means for, well, either removing or lessening the amount of pain that we still have due for our past sins. And finally, the conditions. Sister, the first question was, please explain indulgences. So, I was going to talk about indulgences. So I figured I'd just take the time out. Can I briefly review, very briefly, first of all, the history. The word indulgence comes from the Latin indulgere, which means to lessen, to mitigate. Lessen what? Lessen. To lessen what used to be the severe canonical penances for about the first 1,000 years of the Church's history. 40 days of fasting on bread and water. A very common penance was to travel to the Holy Land and, obviously, either on foot or on an animal, but animals cannot cross water.